Alrighty guys, so today we're actually going to try something different. Let me know how you guys like it in the comments. We're going to do, well, for the month of February, we're going to do four episodes, and we're going to make them shorter just to kind of see, almost like a pilot type thing. So yeah, this is going to be episode one, and then next Saturday is going to be episode two, and then so forth and so on. So if you guys like it, we'll keep doing it that way. If not, we'll go back to the other way. So just let us know and enjoy the show. And just like that, bros and babes, we are on episode three. Welcome to another Blue Moon. I'm Jazz, and today we have three of the city's finest with us today to talk to y'all about the Black man and his way of life. So first we have...
Soul Brother Love, and the one only P-Bid, and special guest with us today we have...
My name is Sylvester, aka Sly. You already know what's going on.
Alrighty then, Fly Dudes. Well, let's get it then. So we're going to be talking about some relatively deep topics today. Homophobia in the Black community. Why it is so common for fathers to be absent in the Black community. Therapy and why it's so taboo. And then we're going to also bring it around to... If Black people decide that they want to better themselves, why does it look like, or why is it said that they are turning their backs on their community? So what we're going to do is just jump right into it. So, gentlemen, why is it so common for fathers to be absent in the Black community?
So, Brother Love. I think this topic is it's a generational thing. We repeat, we're imitation. We do what we see. And unfortunately, the reality for a lot of Black men growing up is they grow up in a phone. They grow up in a home without their father. And growing up and trying to be a man in the first place, or just being an adult, is hard enough as it is. And at the pressures of hypermasculinity, we grow up in a society where they say, men don't cry. Men, you can't express yourself. You can't be yourself, really. You can't be human. To be a man in our society, especially in the Black community, you're expected to be hard. You're expected, if you're tall, you're supposed to play basketball. If you're muscular, you got to be playing football or something. If you know how to talk, they expect you to rap or whatever. That's getting off the topic a little bit. But going back to times of slavery, it's enrooted in us, I feel like, as African Americans. Our families as a heritage were broken up and split up and divided, and we've been a house divided when it comes to the Black family since the origin of this nation. And so starting from then, and then you bring it home to the 1900s when they're trying to get the Black man out of the household with, what is that called? The welfare system. In the household, if there was a man in the household, you couldn't get welfare. And a lot of Black families, because of segregation and Jim Crow and a lot of racial economics, didn't have good jobs. So a Black man had to be there, but they took him out of the house because most of us were on welfare and they can't be in the house and receive funding, but the kids got to eat, mom got to eat. And so that was one way. Then you get crack in the 80s, which was... the war on drugs was really just a war on poor Black people pulling dads out of the household. So we've just had a bunch of generations of where the man was pulled out of the household.
But if you say that that's the reason why the man was pulled out of the household, was that the man himself wanting not to be there?
Well, when it comes to... So even before the welfare system interfered, before that... A lot of times men left the household. So this goes back into the 1800s and early 1900s. A lot of times Black men left the household simply because they didn't feel like a man. They weren't able to provide financially. Their roles weren't fulfilled. And I don't know how you guys feel, but I feel like when any human being loses their purpose, they cannot operate into their fullness. They can't be what it is they're supposed to be. And a lot of times, black men left their homes because they would, all the jobs were up north, or the job was far away from home. So they would just send money back home. But the kids were still growing up without a dad. So either you had a dad who was supporting their kids from afar, or you had a home that just didn't have a dad, period.
Okay. What do y'all think?
I mean, I agree with what you mentioned earlier about a generational thing, because luckily I was blessed to grow up with my dad and stuff. But I met a lot of young men who don't have who haven't had fathers in their lives and stuff. And as a result, the actions that they've taken, whether it be in the streets or anything, they'll attribute it to that. Now, while I understand, you know, you weren't taught by what it is to be a man, having that fatherly figure, you know, you have the ability to change that generational curse. And I think that's the biggest thing that a lot of people fail to realize, is that, yes, it's a generational curse that nobody wants to deal with. It sucks completely. But you have the ability, because you are the new generation, you're the next leaders of this world, and you have the ability to change that generational curse, whether you see it or not. You have that ability, but it's up to you to not only see through that, but to take action and really follow through that. And that way you can be the father in your household, mm-hmm. so that your kids can see that, and then their kids can do the same thing, and on and so forth, starting a new generation
of fathers. So break the generational curse.
Yeah, breaking the generational curse. That's pretty much what it is. So I do agree with that, especially with slavery. It was definitely hard back then. Definitely hard how things were, and we didn't really have much options mm-hmm. back then. Now, but nowadays we have all these opportunities.
Agreed.
But a lot of people just don't really take advantage of it.
100%.
Or create those opportunities for themselves. Yep. That's the biggest thing. So pretty much just breaking these generational curses. What you thinking, man?
Oh, I'm with you on that. I think I was told once before, granted, I had already known before they decided to tell me, but I'm going to let them be. They told me about the good news. And I was like, I already know what the good news is. Do you know the good news? Like, you ain't telling me, I ain't heard before. But I think one of the most interesting things that came about in that conversation was the fact that he said, once you heard of the good news, you can't say you didn't know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for those that follow that particular line of faith, spirituality, and religion, you know, once you've heard, you can't say at the time, if it does happen to be what it is, oh, I didn't know. Well, no, you knew.
That's true.
You knew what the possibilities were, mm-hmm. and you chose not to pursue them. Mm-hmm. And so in that regard, like you all have been saying, you know what was, you know what is, and you also know what could be. Mm-hmm. And I'm a person that says, hey, whether your choices are good or bad, you are fully accountable for your Amen. Actions and your choices.
Yeah.
And, you know, like did you mind say, you know, there are plenty of resources out there today. It's like there are plenty of resources
mm-hmm.
to guide you or help you or assist you along the way. Mm-hmm. I may not know the first thing about raising a daughter, mm-hmm. but if the situation was to be as bad as that child's mother were to pass away or, mm-hmm. you know, no longer be on this earth, am I supposed to just sit there and look at the baby girl like, well, what we gonna do? Yeah. No, you pick up you put on your big boy drawers mm-hmm. and you go out there. You might have to ask some strangers, go to the library, Google all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, whatever you might do. But just sitting and not doing anything or running away from it is not a justifiable answer in this day and time. So for that household with the absent male, it's a hard bill to sell that you didn't know what else to do.
Right.
So, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, accountability is definitely a big thing, because that's the thing that we lack a lot of times, is accountability, holding each other accountable for our actions and our responsibilities, stuff, actions right or wrong, holding each other accountable. That's the biggest thing, not just for those who don't have the fathers in their household and stuff, just all of us in general. We just have to be able to hold ourselves accountable and hold each other accountable so that we can not only do better going forward, but our kids can do better that way. They can do better than we did, and so on and so forth. Then starting a new generation while breaking that old generation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sly actually brought it up. So accountability is the the ultimate, I guess, the very definition of accountability is taking accountability for your own actions. So not having that father figure in your life is, do you guys believe that is an excuse for somebody to say, well, I didn't have a dad, so I don't know how to do X, Y, and Z. Or I didn't have a male role model in my life, so I don't know how to do X, Y, and Z. Or is that just a cop-out?
In case y'all didn't know, me and Sly went to school together. And I'm going to try to throw him back on his age for a minute. We were, I want to say, 10th graders in high school. And he may have been around to all the high school, if I'm not mistaken. But we had an assembly. And he was a lawyer. And he had published his book called Ignorance is No Excuse.
Amen.
Yeah.
And he helped me remember this now. I remember him talking about going through the laws that would affect teenagers above the age of 16 once they hit 16 and okay. Knowing that, you know, you saying I don't know when you in that situation or when the police apprehend you or arrest you for that word, no, apprehend you and they are talking with you about what you did and you say I don't know, that is no longer an excuse,
right? Yeah, definitely, because at some point, once you, especially at age 16, is at that point you know right from wrong. At that point, whether you may have had a father in your life or not, you still had that one parent who taught you right from wrong. Yeah. Now, think about it. You got fathers who are single fathers raising daughters, single moms that are raising sons. Mm-hmm. Now, you got while for daughters, they want their mom there to teach them about how it is to be a woman, and vice versa, a boy wants a father figure to teach him how to be a man. That other parent that is there can tell him some things or what to do and what not to do, just as far as right and wrong is concerned. Like for me, like I said, I grew up with my parents, both my parents in the household until about 2003 when they divorced. And ever since then, I was with my mom ever since then. So I watched his actions, what he did. And if I'm just going to be blatant and honest, it wasn't really a good example of what a man was supposed to be and what a good husband or a good father should have done. Now, based on that, I learned what not to do as a man and as a future father, as well as going forward. And my mom also told me some things as well and how to treat a woman with respect, treat her like a queen, whatever the case may be, treating her with respect that she so rightfully deserves. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, we were all born of a woman.
Exactly.
And the biggest thing my mom always told me, I brought you into this world. Not to take you out.
My daddy's telling me that too.
So that's the biggest thing. Like when it comes to a certain age, you know right from wrong, especially at age 16.
Yeah.
Age 16, you know you're on the cusp of being an adult. Because at age 18, you're legally an adult. Yeah. So at 18, you can't use that. Definitely can't use that excuse. Because even at 16, you really can't either. But 18, you definitely can't use that excuse. Because you know what you're doing. You know the action that you're producing. And you know that with actions come consequences.
Exactly.
So you're going to have to be the one to understand that you got to do what you can. Seek help if you can. Please seek help. And that's the biggest thing. Ask if you have male teachers out there that you feel like you can trust. Ask, talk to them. Maybe they.
I agree.
If you have male teachers out here that you can talk to, for instance, my boy here, PB, he's a teacher.
He's
a teacher.
Fantastic teacher.
He can attest to this. If you have a male teacher that you definitely can trust, that you look up to, talk to him. Maybe he can lead you in a way that may not be ideal or conventional, but he can show you some things. Mm-hmm. He's a teacher, so he has that boundary of the teacher to student boundaries. Mm-hmm. But he can still tell you some things about life, period.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. It's all about accountability, holding yourself accountable.
Holding yourself accountable.
That way, because you wouldn't want your kids to do that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want your kids to be doing what you've done. You would want better for your kids.
Agree.
So you have to take accountability and responsibility for your own actions so that your kids can see that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, not just as a father, but as a man, so that they can follow in your footsteps, especially your sons.
Alrighty guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed our new format. Now, before we go, I do want to leave you with this. Always believe in yourself, because if you don't, nobody else will. Join us next week, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, for part 2. Love you guys. Bye.